Let's get into the Word tonight and see where the Lord will take us. I'm not going to do really hardly any recapping whatsoever. We're just going to jump in where we left off. If you want to recap, you can go. It's made available on the website or on my blog, actually, which is easy to find as well. RiverLifeChurch.com, media page, The Walk will take you there. Or you can go on GregGarvey.com, which is my blog, and it'll take you there. And you can listen to the previous weeks and not miss anything that's been going on. We're talking about spiritual warfare. We're talking a little bit different about spiritual warfare maybe than what we always contemplate or always think, or maybe even what you have normally heard when we talk about that. We are talking about spiritual warfare in the pathway and the context that has been provided for us to be victorious. And we have been on a long journey together, 7 weeks to this point, I believe it is. Or is this the seventh week? I don't know. My weeks run together. But anyway, we've been on a long journey, and we have come to the concept. And we had a whole drawing, and I've simplified the concept down to the drawing on this middle board. You need to get this in your spirit. Everything you are, every victory you win, every possible opportunity for you to overcome is found in the cross of Jesus Christ. It's found in the fact that He was crucified. Christ crucified, buried, resurrected, and alive forevermore. And then the power of the Spirit that He sent into our lives. This is the pathway for every victory that you're going to find. It is seen in this drawing, this very crude drawing that looks better than the other mess that I had over there. Because I put so much on that board you could hardly tell. But we've talked about the concepts of being fully dressed in the whole armor of God. We talked about the battle that's within and the battle without. We talked about that we have to have the mind of Christ. We have the strength of Christ. We have the faith of Christ. In Christ, remember the picture of the cross and the fact that I drew us in there and then I drew Jesus over the top, and we talked about He took our place. He took your place on the cross where you and I should have been. And because of that, we are now in Him. So everything that's in Him now rests upon us. And He resurrected from the grave and went to the Heavenly Father. We are here, but we are His representatives here. We are His ambassadors here. He didn't leave us comfortless. He sent another comforter, one just like Him. That's what the Word says. The Spirit of God that comes and empowers us in order to live out the victory that Christ purchased for us. And so we've boiled it down to this statement: in Christ. Now, we've got two kingdoms. Let me hit that and then we'll get into this. Two kingdoms: the kingdom of the world. Our scripture is 1 Peter chapter 5, where verse 8, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." The devil there is not just a one personal entity, but it truly represents his entire kingdom and purpose and system, which encapsulates this flesh world that we live in. And he is looking for ways. He goes about like a roaring lion, looking for ways that he might devour. Okay? But then we found in verse 9 that we should resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. And then may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory, that's what Scripture says, by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Okay, so we found out we resist him, we stay steadfast in the faith, and so we find this in the cross. So we come to this place, so we find that our victory in this world, remember, we live in this world, the kingdom of this world, but we are citizens of another kingdom, and that is the kingdom of God. And Christ came. And when we are purchased by His blood, we accept Him as our Savior, we are transferred into the kingdom of God. Okay? Now that is a spirit kingdom, and we are not living in the fulfillment of that kingdom here in the flesh. Even though the Bible says when we're in faith in Christ, we are seated with Him in heavenly places. That's spiritually. We still live in earthly bodies. and we still live on an earthly world in an earthly kingdom that is wicked and struggles, and there is sin, and there is failure, and there is all sorts of bad things. This earth produces thorns because of sin. There are disasters. There's all this stuff around because of sin that has brought this world, this system to its knees, this entire world system to its knees, groaning for the redemption of the Lord. That's what Scripture tells us. But even though we live in this world, we are not of it. And so we have to learn how to win this battle. And we've got a big thing going on in our country today about this culture war. And as Christians, we're pursuing this all wrong. If you'll remember, I told you a long time ago, the Lord dropped in my heart. And because I've said it, just like you've said it, everybody else said it, it's not wrong in and of itself. But the concept needs to be clarified. When we say, well, we need to fight for our culture, what it used to be. And I told you, things are never what they used to be. It's never coming back, but that's not the purpose. We're not fighting for a certain culture on this earth, because cultures on this earth, none of them are what we need. The kingdom of God is what we need. And we're not in a cultural war, we're in a spiritual war. But the church has closed their eyes. It's easier to fight a cultural war, because then you're fighting for what you're comfortable for, than it is to fight a spiritual war. Because a spiritual war means that you're able to see that all cultures have their issues, but the kingdom of God is what makes the difference in lives. Amen. Well, somebody needs to be a voice for the kingdom of God in our world today. Not just a voice for some way of living or way of life in this culture, but a voice for the kingdom of God. And I'm willing to be a voice, and I hope you are as well, for the kingdom of God. I'm unwilling to be a voice for cultures that are corrupted because they're fleshly. Amen. So I want to be a voice for the kingdom of God. So it boils down to this. It's all about identity. To be victorious in this world that we are ambassadors for Christ in, to be victorious here while our home is in the kingdom of God, spiritually we're alive there, but to live here and be victorious, it's all about identity. This is a biblical principle that has proven itself from the very beginning of time. And I walked you through that, I believe it was last week, if I remember correctly. That here has been the way that God has led people to victory from the beginning of time, and it is the picture, the same picture, that leads us. From the beginning of time, God, remember at the very start of this, I told you that when Christ came, He made four avenues for us, four lanes for us to be victorious, and that He made a way for us to worship, focus on God, put Him in His right place. He made a way for us to have faith, bedrock, to be settled on faith. He made a way for us to deal with our past, and He made a way for us to head to our future. Okay? And that's what this whole concept is. But that's not new. That's biblical. Because from the very beginning, God was doing this. You can go all the way back. Now, the offering has begun at the very beginning. Most theologians will say that there was an offering made when God prepared a skin to cover Adam and Eve, was the first sacrifice. You can go to Cain and Abel. Cain was willing to kill his brother Abel because Cain brought an offering of the fruit. Abel brought a blood sacrifice. Okay? So you go from there, and then if you move Noah, when he got off the ark, what did he do? He made a sacrifice. Amen? Something that went up before the Father. And so from the beginning of time, the identity of man, and then when you get to Abraham, Abraham was a sacrifice maker. He built altars. Amen? We have a great picture of Christ when God said, take your only son up on the mountain and offer him, and Abraham was willing to do it, and then God stayed his hand, and there was a ram that came up so he could sacrifice him instead. But man, and then you get to Moses. Moses gave them a law. What'd the law demand? Blood sacrifice. Amen? They had to go in. They had to make a sacrifice. We talked about that, the temple. We talked about the temple era. David and Solomon, especially Solomon, because he built David's temple. And from there on, we talked about the tabernacle time where Moses had designed it. They wandered in the wilderness, but the tabernacle was the place that they would meet. Before that, it was Abraham's time, and men and women just offered to the Lord as they knew the Lord. And then we come to Jesus, and he pays the price. So what we did is, from the beginning of time, God has dealt with our past and given man the ability that was identified with him. God's given man that's identified with him the ability to deal with your past by offering a sacrifice. They had to bring their sacrifice. That sacrifice that they would bring represented their past failure. Amen. So this is how God has always dealt with the past. And then they would bring it and they would sacrifice it, which was where their faith was found. Their faith was found in the fact that if they offered this animal spotless, or this animal, this sacrifice, then God would accept that because that's what God had asked for. And so their faith was found there. Okay? Amen. That was their identifying factor. They would offer to Jehovah God. People offered to gods all over the place. They offered sacrifice. But the difference was they would offer to Jehovah God because their faith was in him that he would accept the sacrifice. That's where their identity came from. When they did that, the offering would go up and the savor of it would go up as worship unto Jehovah. That was their worship. They were offering up their worship, and then they would leave that place, not with their past, but they would walk to their future clean. It was the way of victory. All down through the ages, when men and women identified that way with God, they would be victorious. As long as they kept that process, they won battles. In the Old Testament, you can go read about it. You can read about Israel. As long as they kept that process right in the old law and in the old days, as long as they kept that right, they went. But when they corrupted that or mingled that with other things, they lost. Because they lost their identity. When they didn't battle God's way, they lost. When they mingled with the world, they lost. That's the way God had set it up. It's a picture of something. It's a picture of Christ. When Christ comes, he dies for us. He deals with our past. You know what this is? This sacrifice is no longer an animal. It's the very Son of God. And he represented the sin of our lives. Amen. And that's the sacrifice that represents us. And he was offered on the cross. And our faith is in the fact of what Christ accomplished on the cross. And our worship is because of what Christ did. We are reminding God, putting him in his right place, reminding him of what Jesus has accomplished. And then we can walk from that place into a future he has prepared for us. And as long as we follow that process, we are always victorious. Because it's all about Jesus. Amen. And the enemy tries to knock us off. The enemy tries to get us to keep looking back to our past. Jesus represented our past. It's how we can be new in him. The enemy tries to get us to put our faith in everything but Christ. But our faith is in Christ and in Christ alone. In what he did, not what we did, what he did. Somebody say to somebody next to you, it's about what he did, not what we did. Okay? And then our worship is simply keeping God in the right place and reminding him, this is what Jesus did. Thank you for what he did. Thank you for life he's given me. And then we walk to our future. That's the picture. That's what Jesus was doing. The cross was so much more than just a place of death and a place of atonement. It was a place of life. It's a place of victory. It's the place, it's the picture of overcoming. And as soon as we understand that, that's why Paul wrote, who had the mystery of grace given to him, but he wrote to them and he said, I did not come preaching with enticing words of men's wisdom, but I came in the power and demonstration of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I didn't want to know anything among you except Christ and him crucified. Why? Because that's the path to victory. We've got to catch this. It's all about identity. So as long as you stay in Christ, as long as in Moses' day they stayed in the law, when the tabernacle was there, stayed in rank, stayed in the law, they won victory. As long as in Solomon, David, Solomon's, the temple era, as they move forward, as long as that temple and their worship was right and they weren't mingled with others, they won victory. As long as Abraham offered properly, kept faith in God, he won victory. Amen. It's everywhere you look. And it's the same thing today, because God deals with identity. And yours and my identity are found now in Jesus Christ. It's not about Jew or Gentile. Does that sound familiar to anybody? We're no longer Jew or Gentile or male nor female, bond nor free, right? Because identity matters, but you got to have the right identity. Amen? And we're not identified by Jew or Gentile, because there's really only two. You're either Jew or you're not Jew, right? We're not identified by male or female, because everybody hold your ears. I'm sorry to say this, but there's only two. And it's male or female. Okay, I know that's all wild and crazy, but there's only two. You're either male or female. You're either Jew or Gentile. And you're either bond or you're free. There's no in between. You're either bound by something, you're either a slave, you're either a servant, you're either that, or you're free. But he said that identity matters in this world, but that's not the identity that matters to God. The identity that matters to God is Christ. Victory is Christ. And it is Christ and Him crucified. The blood that He shed. So get that picture ingrained in your mind, because everything you do from here on out, you need to say, my victory is in Christ. Everything you face, every battle you go through, this is the pathway to victory. When the enemy tries to drag your past into things, you just remind him, you know what? You can talk about my past, but Jesus is my past. He took it all. He took my past, and He sacrificed on the cross. And I'll remind the Father of what Jesus did, and my future is established in Him. If you can ever get to that point, the enemy cannot defeat you. That's spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare is to keep your eyes focused on Christ and what He accomplished at Calvary. And the life that He has given you. So you've got to understand that. You've got to, children of Abraham, their identity led them to victory. Keepers of the law of Moses led them to victory. Kingdom of David led them to victory. Christ leads us to victory. Yeah, you got that. So we got to understand that. Here it is in the New Testament. It's all about Christ and Him crucified. Our identity is in Him. Our past is in Christ. Faith is through Christ. Worship is by Christ. And future is as Christ. Whew. When I walk to my future, I walk as Christ. Because He now lives in me. Amen. I'm not Him. He's in me. And I'm in Him. Amen. And so therefore I walk. That's why He could say to them, greater works than I do will you do, because I go to my Father. Because He left me and you here to walk as He did. Amen. Praise God. So this is the kingdom. Here's the thing. We are now His temple. Back to identity. Know ye not that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit? Okay? So, previously you had to make an altar, or you had to prepare the tabernacle, or you had to go to the temple in order to find your identity and have victory. But now, wherever Jesus is, and if you're in Him, you have victory. That means victory isn't in a place you go to now. Victory is in who you live in. Oh, praise God. Okay, so here we go. Let's keep going, because you got to get this. But we have all these battles. The enemy's bringing all these things to us, the battle within, the battle without. And I've already told you, no, I'm not going to go through all that again, but I already told you, God's plans for us are so much greater than the enemy's. The enemy tries to intimidate us. He tries to bully us. He tries to scare us. But God has made weapon after weapon after weapon after weapon that has overwhelmed the enemy. Never think the enemy is stronger than your God, because the enemy may have powers and principalities and spiritual rulers and wickedness in high places, but God has more than enough to give you victory, and He has given you everything to be victorious in this world. And then on top of all the armor that we put on, helmet and the breastplate, the belt, the shoes, the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, on top of all of that, the mind of Christ, the Word of God that He's brought. On top of all of that, He's given us His Spirit. The Spirit of Christ. Amen. And we have the opportunity to be empowered by His Spirit. The Spirit enables us to walk and war the same way Jesus did. Amen. I said the Spirit of God enables us to walk and to war against the adversary the same way Jesus did. Do you know when He walked on this earth, He walked as a man. Amen. He walked as a man. The same way you and I have to walk is by the Spirit. He was led by the Spirit. He was driven by the Spirit. Amen. He was given wisdom by the Spirit. He was refreshed by the Spirit. He was an overcomer through the Spirit because He walked on this earth as a man. The Spirit of God is vital for us. Amen. Because the Spirit enables us. What's it do? The Spirit, what's He do? The Spirit empowers us with identity. He empowers us through the atonement of Christ. He empowers us with the law because He points us to the words of Christ. And He empowers us with observance that we are constantly looking to Christ. Okay. We are empowered by the Spirit. Let me give you a few things that the Spirit brings to us. These are still weapons to win the spiritual battle. He brings to us, the Spirit of God brings to us the ability to produce fruit. Amen. The Spirit is a spirit of production. You can write this down if you're taking notes. But in Galatians 5 and verse 22, verses 16 through 21, roughly there, talk about the works of the flesh. But in verse 22, he changes and he says, but the fruit of the Spirit. How many know that means the Spirit's producing something? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Now watch what he says though. Verse 24, and those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. He empowers us to produce fruit in our life if we live through Christ. Amen. Christ produces fruit. If Christ is in you, the Spirit of God in you, the Spirit of the Lord now in you, will cause that fruit to produce in you. How many would agree that Christ produces fruit when He walked on this earth? Okay? And if Christ is in us, then that fruit is in us. And it is the Spirit of God that enables this flesh that is unworthy through Christ, by the Spirit, to produce the same fruit Christ did. Let me give you a picture of that. Something, there is the fruit that is produced in a tree or a plant or whatever it is. Then there is the vessel that it's hidden in until it produces. But then there is the life that's inside that vessel that causes it to produce. These bodies, look at your hands and your arm. You know what those are? Those are vessels. Christ lives in you. Christ lives in you. These are the vessels. This is the dirt. This is the soil. This is the substance that houses the life that produces the fruit. Amen. And the Spirit makes that happen. The Spirit of God makes that happen. He brings that about. And the enemy can't stop that. Let me tell you something else the Spirit does. He gives us the gifts of the Spirit. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapters 12, 13, 14 deal with them. Romans chapter 12, around verse 4 and down, deals with them. We have multitudes. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we see nine gifts that are mentioned. But there are other gifts mentioned in Romans, and there are other gifts mentioned in other places. So don't just get bogged down. The gifts of the Spirit can be many. We have the nine given to us and broken up, but they can come out in many different ways, because in chapter 12, verse 4 in 1 Corinthians, there are diversities of gifts, but it's the same Spirit. In verse 8, for to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these, distributing to each one individually as He wills. The gifts of the Spirit. He gives the fruit is in us, and He gives it the ability to produce through these fleshly bodies because of Christ, the life that is in us. And then He brings to us and brings out of us the gifts of the Spirit. And all of these are to battle the enemy that we are battling against. The gifts of the Spirit are to edify one another. The gifts of the Spirit are not to be used to bring showmanship to us, or where we find our importance. Our importance is only found in Christ. We're all the same. We're all made out of the same substance, sinner and Christian. We're all made out of the same stuff, dirt. We all are developed the same way. Right? Yeah, all dirt bags, he said. We're not more important than anybody else. We're not better than anybody else. We're not more, you know, we haven't attained some high level that others haven't attained to. No, you're just dirt that the Spirit has chosen now to use. Amen. I'm not saying you're worth nothing. I'm saying you're worth the same amount as every other human being, which to God's pretty high. Because the value of every human being was His Son. That's right. It's who we identify that makes the difference. And who we identify with then begins to determine the gifts that will begin to flow through us. This is why it is so important that we strive to be filled with the Spirit. Amen. Now we got to understand this. Because we don't need to be filled with the Spirit just so we can claim that we speak in tongues. That doesn't do much good, really. If it's not for the right reasons and we're not understanding what's happening. Right? It's not to judge whether you can serve on committees or not. It's not why the Holy Spirit is given. The gift of tongues, when tongues comes into your life, that's to give you that ability for the Spirit to intercede through you. Amen. With groanings that you can't utter, when you don't know what to pray, He'll pray through you. Amen. Amen. See, we I don't know about you, I need that. I don't always know what to pray, but I know who does. And if I'll press into the Spirit, He'll begin to intercede on my behalf through me. Amen. And He uses my voice. Amen. And gifts will begin to flow. And when we're gathered together in the body, you'll have gifts in operation. You should have. Because that's how we wage war. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, right? So the gifts are in operation. But they're not to be all crazy with. Amen. That's not what we're not given gifts of the Spirit to be made some sort of spectacles out of ourselves. Amen. We are given the gifts of the Spirit in order for God's plan to be enacted in lives. The minute you are trying to make a spectacle out of yourself, you're no longer in the Spirit, you're in the flesh. And how many of you know you can imitate the Spirit just like you can imitate anything else? Amen. But just because there are imitators doesn't mean there are not originals. In fact, imitators mean there's originals. Amen. Because if there's no original, you don't have any imitation. Amen. Amen. If there's no real Kraft macaroni and cheese, then you don't have all these other imitators. If there's not real Chips Ahoy chocolate chip cookies, you don't have all these other imitators that aren't near as good. And not the chewy kind, all that. The original Chips Ahoy chocolate chip cookies. That's a real chocolate chip cookie. Stay with that. If you don't have original Coke, then you don't have all that other stuff they tried to come out with, New Coke and all that kind of stuff that bombed, right? So we need to be originals by the Spirit. We're given the fruit of the Spirit. He produces the fruit of Christ through us. We're given gifts of the Spirit, so we operate together. So Christ moves and we empower and we're able to. And not only that, we're given ministry gifts. Amen. In Ephesians chapter 4. He says, I've given you some gifts to the body. I mean, apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. I've given these to you for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. We're given leadership and direction by the Spirit. What does the enemy want you to do? He wants you to revolt against leadership. The enemy wants you to reject authority, because authority is a gift from God. Amen. We have ministry gifts. We have people that are brought into our... Those people are no better than any other people. I'm a pastor. I'm on no different ground than you are that are not pastors. No different. We're all on the same ground. But he's given me a calling and a gift to use in the church body. But it's not so I will look one way or I'll get notoriety or something like that. It's so He would be glorified through the body. And we're given the unity of the body of Christ. This is what the Spirit does. He gives us fruit. He causes us to produce the fruit of Christ. He brings the gifts of the Spirit alive. He puts ministry gifts within the body. And He brings unity in the body. He is the Spirit of unity. He is the great unifier of the body. All those who claim Christ, it is the Spirit that unifies us. Amen. Now, I want to hit this with you, because I've just got a couple more things to say to you about this. And these are just some thoughts that I have with this picture that I want you to catch, because that picture makes all the difference in the world of Christ and Him crucified and what that cross brings to us. Okay? And I'm going to pull this up here so I can see this as I'm up here. But here's what you need to understand. Your past. Walk in the Word when dealing with your past. Justification comes this way. God speaks the Word and says, justified over your past because of Christ. Walk in the Word that said, Jesus comes in my place. That's how you deal with your past. Whatever your past is, Christ came, wrapped all that up, and took it upon Himself. All the hurts, all the sorrows, all the wrong that was done to you, all the failures, all the hurt you put on other people, Jesus came just like that offering that they would take to the temple. Or just like that offering Abraham would take before God. Or just like that offering that would happen at the tabernacle. That's what Jesus was. We bring Him and He represents our life, our past. Walk in the Word. The Word. He is the Word, so walk in the Word. And you don't worry about your past. Your past is covered by Jesus. The Word now is for you in spite of your past. Amen. How many of you feel worthy of the promises in that Word? We're not worthy. But Jesus took our past and our place and our sin. And now we are worthy to be justified by all that Word says. God can declare us justified. Okay? And then here in faith, we live in grace because of what Jesus did for us. Amen? When you're fighting with your past, walk in the Word. See, the enemy's trying to tell you you're not good enough, you'll never make it, but you walk in the Word because Jesus represents your past. Okay? And then when the enemy is fighting you over your faith, you walk in grace that says, my faith is in Christ and what He accomplished for me. Amen? You know what that is? That brings the Spirit of regeneration. The Lord hit me with this, and I've been studying this out, these big words. Because I think there's a process to this that we have overlooked because we've been intimidated by how to communicate it. The words are justification, regeneration, sanctification, and Holy Spirit baptism. And we've almost taken them out of our vocabulary because we don't know how to communicate them well. Justification is just simply walking in the Word about our past. That God the Father looks at Christ and says, "You're justified." It's a legal term. The spirit of regeneration occurs at the sacrifice. When Jesus paid the price, died, and rose again, we become new. Do you know what regeneration is? Regeneration means new birth. It means to become new again. That's where everything becomes new again. That's when Paul would write to the church at Corinth and say, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. See, that's more than just Jesus representing your past and coming for you. But now you've put faith in what he did for you there, and regeneration occurs. New life begins to come. And then, from this place, we war in the Spirit with our worship. This is Spirit baptism, if you will. The things of the Spirit now come into our life. And the war becomes a spiritual war. And we need to be full of the Spirit, immersed in. That's what the Word, Jesus told them, tarry in Jerusalem until you are filled. Till you are empowered, till you are endued, and the word endue means clothed with the Spirit. Until you are immersed in the Spirit. Why? Because it is the Spirit that gives us the ability to war and to worship, to keep God in the right place. Amen. That's what, and then we are empowered to be used. Faith turns into worship by the power of the Spirit. Now we are enabled and empowered to be used. But the only way we truly can be used as He wants is by having sanctified, clean vessels set apart to use. Amen. And that's where the whole armor comes as we walk into our future. Amen. Can you see that? And here's the thing. We've got Christians that are stopping short. We've got Christians that, well, justification's good enough. I don't really want to go farther than that. Or maybe, you know, I believe Jesus died for me and that's good enough. And they just stop right there and stunt their growth. They don't want all the rest. You're never going to be victorious in this life that way. If you stop short on this journey that God has portrayed for us, you're never going to be full of all that He has for you. You'll never live in the victory He has for you. You need to understand Christ paid the price for your past, but you need to understand it was what He did on the cross and the resurrection that brought to you new life. Regeneration is not just about Him taking your old life. You need a new life. How? I know Christian after Christian after Christian that claims Christ but has no new life. They're missing regeneration. They're missing what Christ did at Calvary. They're missing what He did when He came up out of the empty tomb. They're missing that new life that changes everything. And then, even some that have new life are missing the power they can walk in because they're unwilling to let the Spirit now fill them. No, I'm not just talking about lead them to salvation. I'm not just talking about He's the one that enacts the salvation experience. There's no doubt. The Spirit of God, without the Spirit, no man can come to know God. Okay? So that's not what we're talking about. But I'm telling you, victory is found when you are immersed in the Spirit. You are clothed with the Spirit. You are full of the Spirit. And then your worship becomes different and powerful. And the power of the Spirit comes into your life to where miracles can begin to occur. Things can happen. Your usefulness just shoots through the roof. Amen. But in order to live all that out, that's great. But then we've got Christians that are good here, and good here, but they're not doing anything with it. They are saved. They've been renewed. They've been spirit-filled, claim to be. But they do nothing with it because their vessels have not been sanctified, set apart for the service of the kingdom. They're vessels. They haven't set aside their vessels. That's what sanctification is, to be set apart for service. They have not allowed God to set them apart to get their vessel ready to be armed with the armor to walk in the full victory. Oh, come on now. These are the worldly Christians. There's a term for you. Amen. These are those that they got one foot in faith and other foot in the world. And some of them will speak in tongues all the time. Amen. Yeah, even interpret them sometimes. We got to have all that God. Amen. Are y'all with me? How many want the victory Christ has given you? I want to tell you, if you'll strive for everything He's brought for you and everything His cross means and His resurrection and His life means and everything the Spirit can bring to you, if you'll strive for that, you'll live victorious every day of your life. You'll fight battles, you'll go through things, but you'll win because Jesus has already won. These are the lanes that He's prepared for us. He's made a way, and even when we're living in the world, those lanes can't be messed with. Nothing the enemy can do can keep you from knowing the Word that tells you your past has been taken care of by Christ. Nothing the enemy can do can take your faith from you if your faith is in Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Nothing the enemy can do can cause you to doubt what the Spirit of God can do in your life, because that worship's going to come up out of you. Those gifts are going to come up out of you. You're going to see things and know things and hear things like you've never heard them before. And there is nothing the enemy can do if you will sanctify your vessel and walk to your future, because you're going to be armed with the armor of God and no weapon formed against you can prosper. I don't know if I'm teaching or preaching, but I'm going to tell you, we are victorious in Christ. And it's all about identity. Who do you identify with? I'm going to close with this and I'm done. John chapter 17. Jesus said an amazing prayer. I mean, do y'all remember John 17? He prays for himself. And then he turns and he begins to pray for his disciples. And then he does an amazing thing. And he prays for you and me. John 17 and verse 20, he says, "I do not pray for these alone, my disciples, but also for those who will believe in me through their word." You know, that's us. Right here, Jesus prayed for you. He ever lives to intercede for you. That they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you. That they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I've given them. That they may be one just as we are one. I in them, you in me. That they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you love me. Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me. For you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you sent me. And I have declared to them your name, and will declare it, that the love with which you love me may be in them and I in them. Christ said, "Father, let them be one together in me, and let them know the glory that I brought for them. Let them walk it out so the world would see it." And guess what that is? That's this picture. you will understand your victory found in Jesus. If you'll understand there's a battle within and a battle without, that there's thoughts and imaginations and high things that exalt themselves above God. If you'll understand that there's powers and principalities and spiritual wickedness and rulers in heavenly places, if you'll understand that that's the tricks of the enemy, that if you'll know who you are, and you'll know Christ came to make lanes for us in this world, and then he took our place, and now we live in him, and now my faith in him is established. My past is taken care of. My faith is settled. My worship is pure. And my future is prepared. And I've got armor. I've got a helmet. I've got shield. I've got breastplate. I've got a belt. I've got feet, shoes. I've got a shield and a sword. I've got the mind of Christ. I've been empowered by the Spirit of God. I've got fruit in me that's just waiting to produce if I'll rely upon the Spirit. I've got gifts that He desires to use in me or in others for me. Amen. I've got ministry gifts that He placed in my life, authority and leadership that can help guide and direct me. I've got unity with my brothers and sisters and with Christ, so that together a threefold cord is not easily broken. I've got unity together with my brothers and sisters. You can't lose. You've got praise on your lips. You can't lose. If you'll do battle from your identity, not from your strength. Everything in the kingdom of the world is about power, intimidation, corruption, or selfishness. Every culture. Not just cultures in communist countries, or not just cultures of socialist countries. Our own culture is ruled by power, intimidation, corruption, and selfishness. Everything in the kingdom of God is from proper identification of the Father in Christ by grace through the Spirit. Thanks be unto God. Stand to your feet. Spiritual warfare is about your identification. And here's the thing the enemy doesn't want you to hear, and we're going to pray. The enemy does not want you to hear this. There is nothing he can do to take your identity in Christ. I'll prove it to you. Some of you don't believe me. Romans 8. Verse 35, you ready? Look at verse 34. Who is he who condemns? It's Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God and also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword, as it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loves us.